Well, good morning. Good to be with you this morning. We trust the Lord will bless our time together. People used to brag how that all roads lead to Rome. Of course, it was not true. All roads never lead to one particular place, one destination. But in life, we must choose our roads carefully and inquire as to their destinations. When we come to a crossroads, we must look for the signposts and make our decisions or our choices wisely. Let's turn, shall we, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We've just finished a week at Agape, and the Lord was very gracious. We saw our theme through the week was make your choice, and we're going to basically carry on with that theme here this morning. We had, that we are aware of, we had a half a dozen children come to know the Lord this past week, so the Lord was working and we're very thankful for that. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Joshua 24 and 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Father, we ask that as we look at this portion of your word, that your Spirit might just guide our thoughts, that everything that is said is according to your word and your will, that you would speak to each one of us, how that we must choose whom we are going to serve. And so we ask that you would just bless us, speak to us, draw us to yourself, that we might, like the people claim, and like Joshua claimed, we will serve the Lord. May it be so in our lives. We ask it in our Savior's name. And for His glory, Amen. Far up on a summit in the Rocky Mountains is a spot marked by a huge signboard. And it's marked as the Great Divide. And what it means is that that spot indicates the watershed of the North American continent. All the waters on the one side eventually end up in the Atlantic. All the other waters that fall on the other side eventually end up in the Pacific. Each drop of rain, as it descends, determines where its ultimate destiny will be. How small the beginning. How enormous the divide at the finish. Every individual stands at some point in their life's history at the commencement of the great and eternal divide. Joshua says, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Moses put it this way in Deuteronomy 30:19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." We go to the New Testament and we have a similar decision to make. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Luke 16:13 puts it similarly, "No servant can serve two masters." And again, it basically says the same as Matthew 6. We must choose whom we are going to serve. Who is going to be the one that we are going to follow. And so what I've done this morning is I've got that word choice, and I'm going to make an acrostic out of it so that we can understand and remember. And so we start with the C. We have, on the one hand, Christ. Choose Christ. On the other hand, we have creed. What does it mean to choose Christ? Well, our text tells us here in verse 14. Notice it says there, Now therefore, fear the Lord. That's a reverential fear. That's a fear where, not that we're afraid of the Lord, but that we bow to Him and we submit to Him. And we fear Him in that regard. That should be our response. If we choose Christ, we will bow and reverence and honor Him. But then we go on in this verse and we discover, and especially as we get down to verse 17 and 18, we discover that the faithfulness of God, that's His response to us. Notice what it says in verse 17. "For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." What do we see here? We see His power. We see His power. And as we look at this and we reply it to ourselves, Christ came and displayed His power on the cross. And through that, He will bring us out of bondage. You see, we are bound, we are in bondage to Satan and sin. And that's not pleasant. It leads to destruction. It leads to a lost eternity. But Christ, in his faithfulness, has come. And he has come with his power to change that and to be able to release us from that bondage of sin. That is salvation. When we yield to him. How do we do that? Well, verse I like to use is Romans 6:23. The wages or the results of our sin is death. It's actually the lake of fire in the end result. Not a pleasant thing at all. But that's the result of sin. One sin can keep us out of heaven. One sin will keep us out of heaven. We are sinners. We deserve death. But that verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, God is able to offer us a gift because Christ died and bore my penalty. He bore your penalty. Now, the illustration I often use is at Christmas, you get a gift. And especially when I'm talking to individuals, I say, now when does that gift become yours? Well, some people will respond and say, well, Christmas Day. And my response is, yeah, but if you don't come down, if you're sick, it's not yours yet, is it? No. The key is that gift doesn't become mine, that gift doesn't become yours until you take it. Right? Until you take it. You have to receive that gift. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for you. Now with the Christmas gift, it's under a tree, it's got your name on it. But it's not until you take it and claim it as yours. The gift that God offers us is under a tree called Calvary. It's got your name on it because he died for the whole world. But it never becomes yours until you personally take it. No one else can take it for you. You have to be the one to take that gift. Have you ever done that? That's salvation. Taking that gift that God offers you. And it's because of the power of Christ, in the fact that he died and displayed that power on the cross, that he is able to release us from the house of bondage. But then we go on in this verse 17, and it says, and which did those great signs in our sight. Christ has done many signs. He was here on earth and he did many miracles. And there were many signs. And so we can say that this is his performance. He performed miracles. You know he's still performing miracles today. The fact that he has saved me is a miracle. Really. I don't deserve it. There's nothing that I could do. It's all him. And he is the one that has saved me because I have accepted that gift. And if you have accepted that gift, you're a miracle that he's performed. And so he's still performing miracles. There's signs. We see individuals who are maybe down and into sin. And Christ comes in and saves that individual and just turns them around. It's evident. He's performing these signs in our sight. But then we find it goes on to say, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And so we find the protection that he gives us and the preservation. He preserved us. And the thing is, it reminds me that when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I choose Christ, I have security in him. Because it's eternal life. I often ask the children, eternal life. How long is that? Well, it's forever. That's right. So in other words, it lasts a week, right? No, it's eternal. Well, it lasts a month. No, it's eternal. You see, it lasts. It's forever. So now I bring this in. So in other words, when I sin, it's over. Well, you see, if it depended on me and my sin, then it's not eternal. Right? It depends on Christ and what he has done. And so therefore, it's eternal. We will never lose it. That's security. What does Christ say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then he talks about how he holds us in his hand. But not only does he hold us in his hand, his Father has his hand wrapped around us as well. So it's double security. And so when we choose Christ, we get this protection and double security. But then we get into the next verse and it says, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. And what did he do? He gave them the land. And that land was a land of milk and honey. And it speaks of satisfaction. And so there's the provision that he gives us when we choose Christ. The satisfaction. Nothing will satisfy us like choosing Christ in our life. And so, if we choose Christ, we will fear him, but he is faithful to supply salvation, sight, security, and satisfaction. He's faithful to supply power, to do performance in our lives, to protect us, and to provide for us. And so, choosing Christ, that's what we get. On the other hand, we have a choice, either Christ or creed. Now it's interesting, we go to verse 15, and it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Basically, that was ritual. That was rituals of long time standing. It was a creed. You go and talk to some individuals and you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I have my own religion. You know, maybe they'll say to you, well, I go to such and such a local church and my parents have gone to that church and my grandparents have gone to that church and so on. So here they are worshiping a creed of long time standing where it's the creed of their fathers. And so they're counting on this creed rather than on Christ. But then it goes on to say, in verse 15, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. The gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. These are the creeds that
Well, they're really, I've got it down as the creeds of the field, because they, as they went into this land, it was the gods that the Amorites worshipped. Again, of long time standing. Isn't it interesting that today we see people going back to older religions rather than even ones that they've been used to here? And so again, they're, what do we find about these? Both of them were familiar. They saw them both in their home or in their new home, new land. But the problem is, they are fallible. It doesn't matter what source. They're false. Fallible. Coming down the steps of the kirk, a neighbor asked an old lady how she liked the sermon from the minister from a distance. "Dee," she said, "I didn't like him a bit. He talked all morning to one class of folks called saints and to another called sinners. And he hadn't a word for a decent, respectable body like me." Well, how often that's the way it is, right? We think we're neither on the lost and on the way to hell and the lake of fire, or we're saved and on the way to heaven. And yet, the Bible only gives us two choices: Christ or creed. There's nothing in between. And so you must choose Christ or creed. John 3:36 says this: "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son," so it's all about Christ, "shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You see, the Bible only gives the two choices. Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," in other words, they had not accepted Christ, "they were cast into the lake of fire." There's only two choices. Which choice have you made? Well, that's the C. That brings us to the H. Notice what the H is for those that choose Christ. Verse 19. "And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord." You see, holiness is characteristic of Christ. And when we choose Christ, we are choosing the fact that we are to be holy as well. It says Christ, it says God is holy. He is jealous. He's a jealous God. If we go for these other things, if we do not be holy for him, he's jealous about that. And we'll deal with it. He's non-forgiving if we do not turn to him and accept what Christ has done on the cross for us. If you do not accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will reject you. Sad. But my friend, it's your choice. Some have suggested, well, why would a loving God send people to a lake of fire? Basically, it's because they haven't accepted his way.
They have made the choice. God didn't make the choice. He said, these are the choices. These are the results of the choice. If you choose Christ, it's heaven. Present with Him. Eternity with Christ. If you choose to reject Christ, you choose the creed. Then you're basically siding with Satan, and God has set the lake of fire for Satan, but because you side with him, that's where your destiny is. You see, it's your choice. You can't blame God for that. He's offering you the choice. We notice in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Consumption. Havoc. So holiness or havoc or harm. Your choice. There it is. Well, that brings us to the next letter, the O. The O. And here, they kind of start to blend. Because it's obey or serve his voice, or obey or serve the gods. Notice what it says in verse 19. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy. He is a holy God. Serve the Lord. Notice verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So you see how they're tied in. Serving God and obeying God. All right? So obey. Serve the Lord. Serve His voice. Or verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, you're obeying those gods and the creeds and so on. It's interesting in Romans chapter 6. It says there, starting at verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Notice the connection of sin and obeying sin. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under sin, under grace. Now this is written to Christians at this stage, right? We're not under the law, we're under grace. This is the day of grace. 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And so there's the choice. Whoops, pardon me. But there's the choice. Again, who are you going to obey? And each of us need to make that decision. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And so, Paul, in writing Romans there, goes on to say that these Romans that he's writing to have accepted Christ. They've chosen Christ. What about you? What about me? Have we chosen to obey Christ? Well, that brings us to the next letter, the I.
And the eye comes along in verse 14. Joshua says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And so what is happening here? He's giving an invitation. An invitation. Now Satan gives us invitations. He seeks to draw us across to his side. Okay? But Christ comes and gives us this invitation. Choose Christ. Choose me. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so he gives us that invitation to come to Christ. Have you done that? Then the second C is choose. Verse 21 says, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. They made a choice. And each of us must make a choice. Long ago, when Antiochus IV was met by the Roman ambassadors, bringing the Senate's missive, forbidding his war with Egypt, he proposed replying on the moral. Lunus, not familiar names now, but he therefore drew a circle around Antiochus in the sand and cried, decide now before you step out of that circle. Well, this brought him to a decision, and he gave up the war and returned to his capital. But you know what? The message from heaven concerning eternity is, decide now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Christ comes and he offers you that choice now. You don't know what's going to happen. There's two things that possibly would happen. You may go out of here, have a heart attack, or have an accident, or some other thing happen, and you're gone. Your chance to make a decision, make a choice, is over. You don't know when that's going to happen. Death is no respecter of persons. Choose now. But the other thing is, Christ might return. For 2,000 years we've been waiting for him to come back. With the things that are happening in our world today, it appears as though he could come back at any time. Of course he could have anyway, because there's nothing that has to be forecast, that's been forecast that has to be fulfilled before he comes back. All right, he could come back at any time. It may be today. It may be before this meeting's over. Are you ready? Because if you don't choose before he comes back, and he comes back, even though you are still physically alive, Scripture indicates you won't have another chance. You believe a lie. It's serious business. It really is. one of the illustrations in our notes for camp was that great Chicago preacher, can't remember his name, but anyway, we all know his name. But he was preaching and he encouraged people at the end of his message, go home and think about it and come back next week and decide. That night, the Chicago fires happened. And many people lost their lives. And that rode with him the rest of his life. Listen, we don't know what's ahead. You need to choose. What is your choice? And then we come to the E. And the E indicates that there should be evidence. Evidence. It's interesting as we go to verse 22 in our text. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, he said. Now notice, here's repentance. Okay? Put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. There needs to be a change. When you accept, when you choose Christ, it should be evident. There should be a change in your life. The fact that you have decided not to obey sin doesn't mean we won't fall into sin periodically. That's why we have 1 John 1:9, because that's written to Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The old sin nature is still there. We don't get rid of that until he takes us out of this scene. But we don't habitually sin. We seek not to sin with the Lord's help. There needs to be that repentance, that turning from sin and inclining our heart to the Lord. And then it goes on to say, verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. When you choose Christ, there should be evidence. You should serve the Lord. It's interesting, verse 25, they actually even set up a statute to remind them. Christian master in Paris, who was a Quaker, offered his four employees the choice of a Bible or 15 francs as a New Year's gift. The first three took the money. But the fourth, a lad of 13 or 14 years of age, said, as you say, the book is good. I will take it and read it to my mother. When he opened the book, what was his great surprise to find inside a 40 franc piece. And so he ended up not only getting the book, the Bible, but he ended up with more francs as well. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Psalm 84:11-12 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So God offers us a choice. A layman visited a great city church during a business trip. After the service, he congratulated the minister on his service and sermon. "But," said the manufacturer, "if you were my salesman, I'd discharge you. You got my attention by your appearance, voice, manner. Your prayer, reading, and logical discourse aroused my interest. You warmed my heart with a desire for what you preached. And then, you stopped without asking me to do something about it. In business, the important thing is to get them to sign on the dotted line." We're here this morning. God wants you to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So to fulfill this, I bring you to that point. Choose now. Only you can do that for you. Max Lucado said, if there are 1,000 steps between us and God, he will take all but one. He will leave the final one for us. The choice is ours. Christ or creed? Which will you choose? Let's turn, shall we, to number 364. Just now. For the Lord is here, and the angels your answer wait. Choose now. Just now. While the call is clear, tomorrow may be too late. Father, we do pray that you would just speak to each one of us. Any in the audience that don't know you as Savior, we do pray that they might make that choice and choose Christ. Those of us who do know you, we still need to make the choice of serving you fully. And so we do pray that we might all be aware that we must make a choice. Speak to us, we pray. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen.